Being nervous is an okay thing. Being nervous, it's telling you something though. And think about that. Is your nerves telling you, dang it, what if it doesn't work? Or are your nerves telling you, oh my gosh, it's nerves in the good way, kind of like physiologically excited, the exact same thing, right? So what if it all does work? I'm not good enough yet. You're probably right. So learn or cross the gap, either through paying for someone or barter or figure it out. But just lean in.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's going on? It's Steve Larson. Welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio. The amount of times I've said that is very fun for me. Hey, I want to go through a little bit about what I'm going to talk in one of these speeches on Thursday. Thursday, for me, is going to be super fun because I know that there's easily going to be 5 to 10,000 people live who watch this thing. And then there'll be easily 100,000 to go through it probably in the next year as well. This is, I don't know if this challenge is supposed to replace the One Funnel Away challenge. I think so, though. It's called Your First Funnel Challenge. And I'll definitely have an affiliate link for it. I'll definitely, you know me. I like to give stuff that is bigger than even what you're buying. So as bonuses, if you buy through my links. I do a lot of affiliate marketing. But, you know, it's interesting looking at the funnel opportunity and the things that have to do with it. I want to do more sales funnel style episode here. I remember the first funnel, the first time I ever built a funnel. In fact, I don't know if I've really told you guys this. I was on a date when I really saw the power of ClickFunnels. Okay. I was in college and I saw ClickFunnels. I had read .com secrets and then Russell sent out an email saying, hey, you know, my weird niche funnel currently making me $17,000 a day and how you can ethically steal in less than 5 minutes. Right. Remember that headline? So I had read the book .com Secrets, and then I saw that email, and ClickFunnels had just left beta. And I saw that webinar, and my eyes just rolled in the back of my head, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And I remember I didn't have the money to get ClickFunnels. And so a lot of you guys know the story. I was like, well, it has a two-week trial in it, so what a gift. Everything that we would do with the software after we start the trial, let's just plan it before we start the trial. So we took a whole week, my buddy and I, and we planned out this funnel. And I put together the funnel, the plan. I just drew out. I kept seeing Russell. He would always draw his funnels on a whiteboard. So I would rent these classrooms in campus because they had whiteboards, and I would whiteboard out the funnel. And so that's what we did. And we planned out the entire funnel. We did all the funnel hacking that I knew or understood at that time. Got all the resources together. I learned how to integrate ClickFunnels with... At that time, I was integrating ClickFunnels in Infusionsoft. I was actually pretty good at it. Other companies are hiring me for that as well later. While I was still in college too. But I was integrating the two and I was figuring out different forms. Oh no, Salesforce. I was integrating ClickFunnels with Salesforce. And... it was for this smartphone insurance funnel. And it's cool. anyway, I planned the whole thing out. And then what I did is I pressed go on the trial. And we spent that first week building out the funnel and putting all the structures together. And I remember at the end of the week, I could do a test purchase and it worked. Tick, tock, tick, though, on that trial. I was nervous. I was like, I don't have $97 once, let alone... I mean, we were literally living on, I think it was $5,000 every 3 months. I mean, we were poor. that's not an exaggeration. Because we would get, I think it was $6,500 or something like that. But my tuition is super cheap. And so, that was besides tuition. Never mind. It wasn't that cheap. it was after books. That's what it was. I'd budget like $1,500 of that $6,500 for books. So we'd live on like $5,000 for 3 months. So I literally did not have $97. Like, we had we definitely had more than $97 in the bank, but it was budgeted so we could live for the next 3 months. Does that make sense? That was the situation I was living in. And it's why I get so frustrated when someone's like, oh, I'm broke. Freaking sack up, because no one's coming to save you, all right? Figure out how to get some opportunities in your life, because they're not going to come knocking, right? You got to prove those doors before they're all ever open. It's going to be some sweat equity, baby. So I remember that I was on that. I really needed that second week for us to make sales. And so we didn't really buy ads. We just started trying to actively go sell people. And we sent emails. We didn't buy traffic, though, I believe. We did later. But we ended up getting, I think, like 3 customers. And those 3 customers, you know, it wasn't much, but it was like 140-ish or something. I mean, it wasn't a lot, but it paid for ClickFunnels on week 3. Right. And so what we were selling was a monthly subscription. It was smartphone insurance, like protection plans and stuff. Cause that's what my buddy was doing. He was a iPhone repair guy. And so he understood that world really well. It's not some random thing that we decided to go through. Okay. There's a lot behind it. Sorry, I'm just like remembering all that. I forgot about a lot of these details. I like it when you guys ask me questions as prompts for the show, by the way. I think it's great. So I wanted to do this episode because I know that a lot of you guys feel excited when you hear stories like that. And I also know, even if you're not broke and you have a business, I mean, you're like, I still haven't gotten a funnel to work. You're like, what's the deal? Being, I don't want to say nervous. I'm not trying to paint anyone here who feels like not excited as nervous, but there's something to understand though about anxiety and nervousness and just trepidation in general, moving forward and anything in your life. This, in my mind, it really boils down to 2 things. Like there's 2 reasons. Well, I'd say 3. I just thought of another one. And this is not a definitive list, as I just demonstrated, but there's a few reasons why the nerves show up. First and foremost, I have found that they show up because we get something that I have too much, which is you get magical thinking, right? Magical thinking is where you start to paint a scene of the horror that's going to happen if you go try to actually build a funnel. Oh my gosh, it's all going to go to crap, right? It's the worst of the worst scene that your head paints anytime you do anything new. Oh, if you go to the mall, you're going to die in a gutter because you're going to get on some hidden credit card thing. And because, you know, and then someone's going to take the house and then your dog's going to lose its right leg. You know what I'm saying? Like you just paint this horror scene of what it's going to look like. The worst of what's going to happen if you actually go build a funnel. It's called magical thinking. It's a blessing when you're trying to innovate. It is a curse when you're trying to analyze opportunities. I cannot tell you how big of a deal this is. For me, I suffer from huge magical thinking in the negative sense sometimes, right? And a lot of anxiety can come from that because you're seeing all the horror of what could happen. The easiest way to fix that is to start painting scenes that are exactly the opposite, right? Instead of asking, you know, I guess this really goes into the second one. So in one sense is this magical thinking. The second though, let me go on to number 2 here. The second though is you start to act in the present based on what you've now imagined. Does that make sense? You're saying, if I go build a funnel, I'm going to die and explode and I'm going to lose my right arm actually and metaphorically. All right. And then you bring that future based information back to the present. And that's how you act. And you're like, oh my gosh, that means I'm never going to go get a funnel started and I'm never going to go try. Right. So you start to future pace so hard that you act in the present based on what you've just imagined. It's not real. It's a mask. Right. It is a facade, a mirage that you are painting. And then you act on the present based on this imaginary scenario in the future that is not even probable or actually happening at all, right? There's not enough emotion for it to happen. You're not even started, right? So you have the magical thinking. You have acting in the present based on that future magical thinking. as the, you know, and then I'd say really a third reason for nerves and paralysis is this whole idea that you literally just don't know how, right? Number three is the skill set gap. And the skill set gap, I mean, that's honestly like, that one's probably that's the most honest of the three. Magical future thinking of some nasty, you know, situation, present acting based on that future idea, you know, stuff. And then you're like, but I don't know how. That one's probably right. Right? Where you're sitting back and you're saying, I would build a funnel. I just don't know how. I don't know how to integrate these things. I don't, what's a payment processor? You know, a lot of you ask me that stuff and you don't know. You're like, what is SMTP? And why is it so important? Right? Why? And you're like, I don't know how. That one is the one to listen to in the right sense. Right? Of the three, throw out the magical thinking. Start asking, what if it does work rather than what could go wrong? We'll spin and we'll ruminate on this whole idea of all these burning buildings and it's going to be awful. And like I said, you're going to die in a gutter face down. You're going to get shot. It's going to be terrible. It's like that under what premise? Where are you kind of, you know what I'm saying? You get out from under that by starting to ask, what if it does work? What could my life look like? And future pace and paint that scene. Those are the things that drove me. Oh my gosh. If I could just go get a couple customers, just a few, I could literally cover it for the cost of ClickFunnels. And so that's exactly what we did. And it was under that pretense rather than, oh my gosh, what's going to happen on week three when I owe them $97? It's a 2-week trial. It's free. So if I literally couldn't, I would go, if I could not pay for it, it means I could cancel it if it didn't work. But why not try full out, all in, both feet, full, the whole way, right? Go straight, because like, what do you want to be known for, right? What do you want to live as? And so you got to have an answer for getting over these nerves. And so that's what I want to bring this up to you, is that it's these three things really shoot you in the foot. It's magical thinking, some nasty future thing that is not true or probable at all. But then you make present decisions based off of that premise. Rather than, right, the fix is to start asking what could happen in my life if this does work. If it does, what if, right? And to go for, what if this actually happens? The third thing is the most honest, which is that skill set gap. And the reality is if you're like, oh, I'm actually not good enough. Oh, I'm not good enough. You know what? You're probably right. You're not. You don't have the skills yet. That nerve, that's the one telling the truth. And that's okay. You don't have to. The problem with the skill set gap is that people think they need to be me in order to make money with a funnel. Right? They start playing the comparing game. They're like, if it's not as cool as Russell's, if it's not as awesome as Steve's, then therefore it's not going to make $1 million. And then I look at their stats and their stats are like an industry standard levels. And it's like, hey, great job. Just like keep on keeping on. You know, you're doing a great job. People take the skill set gap and they inflate it. They use magical thinking again on skill sets. And they say, you know what? I have to be so big. I have to be the best funnel builder on the planet to make my first dollar. Bull crap. Okay. The bar for making money has nothing to do with the bar that it, of how school graded you. You don't have to get an A in funnel building to make money. They're not even related. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to get an A in offer creation to make money. You see the power of this? And so people use magical thinking in these what if scenarios. And then they use magical thinking in what type, like how good they have to be in order to start making money. You don't get paid based on how good you are. You get paid on how well you can sell. Still fulfill. But there's a big lesson there in what I just said, right? Revenue and cash flow has very little to do with how good you are. It has everything to do with solving a problem and pitch volume. How frequently are you pitching? Right? Solving a valuable problem in a valuable way, and how frequently do you pitch? Bam, there's entrepreneurship. Those are the only things that matter, right? So I obviously, I understood portions of this when I was starting the funnel game and starting to build funnels. But I didn't understand nearly to the depth, obviously, that I do now. And, you know, knowledge is power and liability, right? So let me tell you a few more ways that I got. This is how I kind of got ClickFunnels for free, to be honest. So the first was using the 2-week trial, like I just said. The second way was I realized that I could actually just be an affiliate. And so I started building these affiliate pages. My first dollar ever on the internet was not with ClickFunnels because I didn't know about it. And I also didn't, it was with an affiliate product. Actually, my first dollar was with affiliate marketing. And I still remember the product. I can't believe it worked. It was so cool. It just exploded all of my beliefs, false beliefs about, you know, this game. But anyway, so I started being an affiliate and I started doing lots of different affiliate stuff and learning one of the reasons I liked being an affiliate, and it's kind of the cool way to start, I honestly think. There's some benefits to learning how to sell someone else's products before going and try to create your own. You learn just that. You learn how to actually go sell rather than get distracted by what should my offer be. What a blessing, right? You get paid to solve that first problem more than the second one. And no, please no one go mistake what I'm saying here. Steve's saying that you don't have to make a good offer. That's not what I'm saying at all. Steve's saying that you don't need to go fulfill. Not what I'm saying at all. But neither of those skill sets, offer creation or fulfillment, is actually what makes money. What makes money is pitching, and pitching frequently, right? And so how amazing that affiliate marketing or selling other people's products, that's the other reason I like network marketing so much, is especially on the internet, you are learning marketing and sales without having to learn product creation, product fulfillment, business building, right? And so that's one of the reasons why I started with it, is I was learning, I think I was heard this from Robert Kiyosaki, it might have been Russell, I was still in college, and they're saying one of the reasons why affiliate marketing is so cool is for those exact reasons. So that's one of the reasons why I did that, is we certainly made our own product, but my first dollar wasn't with when I had my ClickFunnels account. I was practicing selling other people's stuff. It's also why I went into door-to-door sales in college. I was like, if I don't know how to sell, I will not make it as an entrepreneur. And I'm so glad for all the rejection, all the lessons, all the things that came from that, because that was 100% true. Pitch volume matters, right? So if you're excited, awesome. If you're nervous about building a funnel, realize that what you're really doing is just putting up a place on the internet to create a customer, but you're still going to go have to learn some way to get out there and go sell. It's one of my favorite reasons for this affiliate model is the fact that you get to practice this without actually building a business. You know what I mean? A business. You know, you don't have the fulfillment, the support, you know, all that stuff, internal systems. Are you going to have meetings? You're not going to have meetings, like all that stuff. You get to skip that. And that's why I like affiliate marketing so much and network marketing so much, is because of that. I mean, truly, the affiliate model and the network marketing model are the exact same thing on the internet. So one just has more tiers than the other. So why would I not do that? All right. So, the same model to like almost to the T. Anyway, so I'm trying to tell you that, like, if you're nervous about building funnels, like I totally get that. Or if you have a business and you're like, I need that funnel in there, the skill set gap can be solved in a lot of ways. You don't have to be the one to fill the skill set gap. You could go hire a funnel builder. Steve, that costs a lot of money. You could do what I did. I learned how to build funnels, but I started learning how to trade. And so I would barter. And I still do this a lot of times. Like when I can, in fact, we'll make it part of our quarterly planning. Hey, we're going to go to all of our vendors and we're going to see if we can, you know, pay on like net 7, 14 or 30 day terms. And that's not a bad thing to ask for. What that means is like you do the work and you get paid on it, you know, 7 days, 14 days or 30 days later. The rest of the corporate world works like that, right? That's what an invoice is, right? But in our world, we don't do that much. So I started realizing that that was an opportunity for bartering, where I could go in and I could say, and I want to do this till you get a little more versed, but I do this. And I go and I say, hey, this funnel that you're working on is going to launch on this day. Here's all the things that I'm doing to make sure that it's a big, loud launch. Would you be okay with me paying on net 7 or 14 day term from the date of that launch? Right. And so I've done that many times. right? It's one of the ways that I've gotten literally world-class assets for free, essentially, right? Because what I do is I go build a launch around that day. I tell not everyone says yes to that, by the way, and that's fine, right? That's fine. But where I can, and often if someone said no, I would go till someone said yes when I was really, really poor or when I was first starting out, right? When I left my job and I was super nervous. So I started to negotiate. Like, I learned as many skill sets as I could. And you kind of have to do that when you don't have extra cash, right? And that's fine. If you do have extra cash, you can let money help fill that skill set gap by hiring somebody else. But if you're still like, look, Stephen, I don't want to learn it and I don't have money. Cool. You still have net 30 terms, which is that's standard in the rest of big boy business world out there. You know what I'm saying? And so that's not a jerk thing to ask for is what I'm saying. Our world just doesn't do it that much because we're all small, and that's fine too. But small to medium business world is slightly less accustomed to that. But you're not asking for something weird or far-fetched when you do that, by the way. And so I realized that I could go and I had the asset of being able to still go get people to help me build my stuff, right? But I also could use it. I've done this for the affiliate model multiple times, right? This is the second way that I got ClickFunnels for quote unquote free, was selling ClickFunnels. And so what I would do is I had the asset of being able to barter to get people some time in, but I also had the asset of selling someone else's product. This meant that I didn't have to go build the business. I'm not trying to sell everyone on affiliate marketing, and I realize that kind of sounds like what I'm doing here. It's not the point of this episode. But it was why I chose that method, right? Is I could go in and I could sell someone else's product without building a business, and I could use, you know, bartering, which included things like net 30 terms where applicable. But that's how I got good at it. The third way that I got ClickFunnels and really almost every service for free was through this method. I mean, all of my internet tools are paid for by affiliate marketing. Not every product that I use has an affiliate program, but I like to at least try to, right? I got an SLO on my own business expenses in one of my companies. Okay. Not all my businesses are this way. But that was the benefit of the model that I chose, is that affiliate marketing literally paid for all the software that I needed to be a business. Right. And so that was one of the reasons why I started being an affiliate, like out of the gate of leaving my job, and why I created Sales Funnel Radio, right? It was to document my journey, but it was also to share with you guys the cool softwares I was using, because a lot of you have bought stuff through my affiliate marketing, my affiliate links, which I appreciate. I don't ever affiliate for something I don't use. That's my rule. And I don't ever affiliate for something that I don't actually 100% back or have personal story around. I'm very, very careful on what I affiliate for. I've said no to promoting a lot of people's stuff. I've had people even tell me, we'll pay you to promote this. I'm like, yeah, but I never used it. So no. Ethics or something. Anyway. All right. So first way was I used the...
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of chief ads officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
The 2-week trial. The second way was I used a lot of affiliate marketing stuff. I'm not trying to make these such long episodes, guys, but I feel like this is good stuff. The third way, and if you're nervous, right, I just started learning. Someone taught me that I had this really great entrepreneurship teacher, and he was like, if you're going to go be an entrepreneur, and I was careful to in college, I don't mean this to be rude, but when I was taking entrepreneurship classes, I really keyed into those who were actual, real, rich entrepreneurs. If they weren't, I listened to everything they said with a grain of salt. It's healthy to question education. The Socratic method is amazing, my friend. All right, so that's where you ask questions. And you ask the origin for literally everything you hear. So there was this teacher that I had, though. He said, he's a really cool guy. He invented a style of concrete. He's an engineer. I can't remember what type of it, though. Anyway, when 9/11 happened, get a load of this. This is crazy cool. He engineered a style of concrete that had less mass but more strength. And so it could be wildly stronger with far less material and kind of junk in the concrete. He invented it. And this guy's my teacher. Super cool dude. I think I remember his name. I'm not going to say it though, because I don't quite remember. It's between one or the other. Really, really cool dude. But I remember him saying, he said the biggest thing, I learned a lot from him. I haven't talked about him much on the show or ever, I realized. But I learned a lot from him, though. He told me once, he said, the biggest mistake that I see college students making is they give all the responsibility of their education to the professor. He's like, I can't teach you everything. He was such a cool dude. He's super down to earth. And he was like, so he invented the style of concrete. I didn't finish that story. And when the new tower was built, the Freedom Towers, right, New York, right in Manhattan, they used his concrete. I mean, he made a lot of money. So this guy's my teacher. And he was saying to us, like, look, the worst students give the responsibility of all education to me. That's not being a real student. If you want to learn something, it's not on a teacher's responsibility for you to learn it. A teacher's job is to point in the direction of truth, right? They're not there to install everything in your head like it's a plug in the back of your head like Matrix, Your job is to learn. Their job is to teach. Those are two different things, right? And so I love that lesson from him. It was such a good lesson. I remember that's really when I dove really, really, really hard into learning funnels, because I realized my marketing degree was kind of a dime a dozen. I needed a real skill set. So that's why I dove so hard into funnels, was after that dude said that. But the other thing he said, this is in my entrepreneurship class. I took a ton of them. I took all of them but one. He said, though, in there that he said, if you're going to leave college and go be an entrepreneur immediately, he said, I'm not saying that doesn't work. The chances of that working, though, are really small. It is way better, and you're going to actually excel much faster to go learn under the wing of somebody else. So while I did not try to work at ClickFunnels, it was a surprising opportunity when it landed in my lap. I certainly poised myself for those opportunities. I worked my face off to be seen by ClickFunnels before I ever got hired there, right? And this goes to this third principle, right? Or this third way that I started getting ClickFunnels for free, and that is to learn to build funnels for other people, right? And so what I did is I just got them through my affiliate link. I started building funnels. I crossed the skill set gap by building funnels for other people. Now, I still built that first funnel for ourselves to get ClickFunnels and figure out, but I actually cannot remember if the first move I made, like, No, because I already knew ClickFunnels by that time. Okay, yeah, no. So I got ClickFunnels by using a 2-week trial. It's like 8 years ago, all right? It was 8 years ago. 2015, July, was my first bill to ClickFunnels. 2015, that's crazy. Anyway, so like I worked really hard to be seen by ClickFunnels. And so I started building funnels for, once I understood how ClickFunnels worked on my own stuff, I started building funnels for other people because I realized that was the first time I realized that building a good product was not the same thing as learning how to build a funnel. And that I was a little bit sick of trying to figure out how, like what to sell. I learned about funnels when I was on Business Tribe number 17. As far as I can remember, by the way, like I've tried a lot of stuff. So I had gone through 17 failures, 17 by the time I first learned what a funnel was. And I remember when I saw funnels, there was this really cool thing that clicked in my head where I realized that, you know what? None of my products are working very well. What if I just got really good at building funnels? And I remember the day I've been listening to Russell's stuff. I listened to every single Marketing in Your Car podcast. I took notes on that show. Anything that I could get my hands on, I went to the .com Secrets X program every night from midnight to 2 a.m. and took tons of notes on it. I mean, I was a huge Russell Brunson junkie, you know, by the time I started working there. And, you know, taking my education in my own hands. But I decided I needed to go build funnels for other people. So rather than, because I couldn't figure out how to build an offer. This is why I'm so firm on how my offer method, by the way, is so much, I've solved my own pain. You know, and then when I did, every offer after that has worked, which is really cool. But I was on try 17 when I, 17, how many, I mean, honest, true, legitimate attempts. Not like I had an idea and no one wanted it and came knocking to my door with $1 million check. Like actually walking down the street trying to sell my crap. Like I would do that. Okay. 17. I was probably 3 years in of active attempted entrepreneurship and I saw funnels and I was like, you know, I need my marketing degree I'm going through right now is kind of a dime a dozen. I don't really want to go work for some corporate thing, which is a little bit where I could tell college was leading me to, and which is fine. I just didn't want to do that. I know I've always wanted to work with small and medium businesses just since high school. I've known that. Anyway, so I saw this funnel building thing as the ability for me to learn how to sell. It was a cool tech thing. It was something that I could use marketing with. And I was like, this is a skill set that if I go learn this, like will be really advantageous in the future in general. It's combining my marketing background degree, so it didn't feel like I waste college, right? Not that I wasted. I still don't feel like that. I never will. But funnel building, though, became this thing where I was like, hey, I'm in. Like, I need to do this. And I remember the day I looked in the mirror and I told myself, I'm going to be the best funnel builder on the planet. And I was dead serious, committed as one. Like, I was, oh my gosh, so committed. And I analyzed my life and all distractions and I deleted Netflix and I got super, super, super focused and would read books between classes and every audiobook course I could get my hands on, I devoured it. I mean, and I stayed that way, man, for easily 6 years. It's really only in the last 3 years that I felt that kind of leave. And it's not that it's gone. It's that, I don't know, like the pace that I get to build at now is a little bit different. And a lot of that has had to do with my own healing. And I'm not trying to get on that rabbit hole, but it's just interesting to watch my own pattern on that. Half the reason I do these episodes, guys, is to have epiphanies. So I'm having epiphanies right now. Alrighty. I always outline the episode though, so I can go back to the main point. So it's not like, let's listen to Steven rabbit hole himself 15,000 times. Anyway, I got good at building funnels because I realized I needed to go be good at building funnels because none of my products were working and I needed a marketable, sellable skill set that companies would pay for. And I wanted to stay on the revenue side of the balance sheet. That was a good lesson my dad taught me. Yeah, he's like, look, you want to make money? Stay on the revenue producing side of a business organization at all times. The moment you enter a cost side, what do you think they try to cut first if times ever get bad? All right. He's like, anything that costs the money or costs the business money. He's like, they're not going to fire a sales guy if they've got too many support people. or they could work their support person a little harder. You see what I'm saying? Like, this is a big deal. And so you want to, I learned this when I was in the Army also. S4 stands for supply. You want to be friends with supply, right? Beans and bullets, baby, right? They hand out food, hand out your ammo, all your stuff, all your gear. Don't piss off the S4. You be friends with the S4. You're being friends with the vein of gold, right? You want to find the cheese and be friends with the cheese so that when the cheese moves, you're remembered. Does that make sense? These are market lessons that are really important. So I realized that though. I was like, I have to learn. And this is what I was thinking about all the time in school was I did not know what I wanted to be when I grew up and I could not figure it out. And 17 tries, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. None of them were working. So I went through programming. Like computer programming, I went through finance. I was thinking either accounting, and then after a while, I loved macro and micro financial economics. Oh my gosh, that stuff is so fun. And then for a while, I thought I was going to do supply chain. I mean, I really did not know what I was going to be when I grew up. So when I saw funnels, it was this magical like crosshair of all these scenarios that were going on in my life. And couldn't get a product to sell. Dang it. Well, you know what? Maybe I need a sellable skill set to the marketplace, even though I'm leaving college with a degree. And I had a 3.85, man. I did really well in school once I learned how to learn. Oh, baby. Straight A's are my jam. I never got a C after I learned how to learn. I was really, because I got addicted to learning. Once I learned how to do it, once I learned how to learn, oh my gosh, it was so just like the most exciting thing on the planet. It still is. Extremely curious by nature. But I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I was going through all these questions. And I'm sure you listening to this sales funnel radio, you wouldn't listen to this show if you didn't probably have some of these attributes also. Don't know what you want to be when you grow up. See a million opportunities in front of you at all times. You see, all our problem isn't that we need a opportunity. It's that we have too many of them, right? So we got to learn how to create filters so we don't think everything is a pile of gold, because it's not, right? And so I had all these things. Didn't know. I mean, I remember in fifth grade, my dad and I having conversations of me trying to figure out what I was good at, because I just highly idiosyncratic. A teacher told me once, right? We take on this personality test and he was like, you're very, very idiosyncratic. It's kind of an outlier. It's a chameleon, you know? And I was like, I don't know what I'm good at. And so I liked design, became a head editor of yearbook for design, got, you know, and when I was going through, I mean, I played every sport under the sun. I haven't told you guys a lot of this stuff. When I saw funnel building, it was the first time I realized that it could let me sell the products that I was making. And the issue was that I was making good. All my 17 tries before that, it's not like they were bad. Why didn't they work? They were good offers. Why didn't they work? I was selling legitimate stuff, right? One of the companies that I tried was a diamond business with my buddy, Derek. He's the man. Miss that guy a ton. One of my best friends in college. And we tried this diamond business together. And I learned a lot about diamonds. It was so fun. It was really cool. And it was custom made diamond jewelry. And we would get these 3D wax model replicas sent to the client. And they would just, they'd send us like 3 or 4 wedding ring, you know, pictures of what they liked. And we'd send it out to the manufacturer. And they would custom design based off the pictures, a new one, create a wax replica that they'd laser cut out and wax, and then they'd send it back to the person that we were chatting with, and they would see if they liked the custom ring. We were in a college town. You don't think rings go there, right? People get married there. So we're like, we're going to make a wedding ring business. And that's what we were doing. And you know what? Like, we actually got a customer. I remember it wasn't me. It was my buddy, Derek. He went and he sold them. And sales is my point. It was the thing that I continued to have a big, hole about. I didn't understand how to sell until I went into more door-to-door sales. But think about that. Has anyone succeeded in selling a diamond ring since I failed at it? Yeah. So what was the variable? Me. Interesting. And that's important to understand about whatever opportunity you're thinking about when you think about if you're going to go leave your job or you're going to go build or you're like, I'm nervous. Totally get it. Don't fall into magical thinking. What if everything burns? Okay, but what if everything works? What if everything works? What if? Because eventually you make one that happens, man. And it's so freaking cool. Like, oh my gosh. I remember that first time that it works. And you realize that it really works. And then you go pitch again and it worked again. That is easily one of the coolest feelings on the face of this planet. It's like, oh my gosh, it is 1,000% all the failures. Absolutely. It is so fun when one of these things hits. So what if it all works? What if it actually does work? And you move off of that premise. You make all your decisions, all of your attitude, all of your energy, the way you think, how you think, if you're being pessimistic, all of that matters. And you base that off of what if it does work, rather than, oh my gosh, we're going to burn in a ditch, right? The second thing is skill set gap, right? Or I say number three. The third thing is skill set gap. And skill set gap also involves magical thinking. Oh, I got to be a level one amazing top of the tier, you know, skill set person in order to make money. That's not how money is measured at all. It's measured in problem solving and pitch volume, right? That's it. All right. If you're like, look, I'm really low on funds, that's not a bad thing, right? You can use net 15, 14, 7 day, 30 day terms or whatever. Or just literally barter skill sets, like figure it out, right? Again, no one's coming to save you. I've had people say to me, well, Jesus is coming to save me. And I was like, no, he already did. This one's on you. Okay. This is life. He already did his part. Okay. No one's coming to save you. It's on you now. You got the agency. You got all the stuff. There's a reason you're listening to this. You probably are being laid in a path. Just follow the freaking path. Stop resisting it. Move forward. It's so much easier when you kind of just give into the discomfort of growth. All right. I got good at ClickFunnels because I needed to. I got that 2-week trial, right? I used ClickFunnels with affiliate marketing. I got ClickFunnels by building funnels in other people's accounts. And I got to ClickFunnels. That's how I got to Funnel Hacking Live. I bootstrapped my way there. I traded funnels for flights, right? You guys know that story. You know all those stories, right? And I got clients by telling them basically, hey, I know you don't know who I am. And I know you don't know what a sales funnel is, but I'm offering to build you one. I used the fact that I was a college student. That's always great. I did that a lot. Opens a lot of doors. If you're a student, there's more than one ways your tuition money pays you, right? So I would say like, hey, I'm a college student. I'd like to build one for you. I have two conditions though. I'll take care of everything. I'll even pay for everything. I would tell them they have to pay for the tools. I said, I'll take care of everything. I'll do it all for free. I just need you to pay for the tools. So I give them my affiliate link to ClickFunnels and anything else. All right. If it works though, let's talk. I want to know that you're okay with me getting paid, but only after you've made money. So there's literally zero risk with this. And that was my pitch. And I started getting paid to learn, right? And that was awesome. Once you can figure out how to cross like the skill set gap, magical thinking in the right way, what if it all works, right? Being able to do that, there's tons of ways to make that whole ad. It takes money to make money, biggest pile of crap on the planet. Because money is not value. Value is not money. They're two separate things, all right? So you get paid for value exclusively, right? So once I found my voice and I found these skill sets and figure out how to, you know, close the skill set gap, like being nervous is not a bad thing is what I'm saying. Being nervous is an okay thing. Being nervous and it's telling you something though. And think about that. Is your nerves telling you, dang it, what if it doesn't work? Or are your nerves telling you, oh my gosh, it's nerves in the good way. Kind of like, you know, physiologically excited, the exact same thing, right? So what if it all does work? I'm not good enough yet. You're probably right. So learn or cross the gap, either through paying for someone or barter or figure it out. But just lean in. Anyway, I'm excited for you guys. I really love hearing about how you guys are doing with the information that I say in here. I know these last few episodes have been a little bit long. Sometimes what I do is, so I'm going to tell you actually exactly what I'm going to do with this. I have a 19-minute speech that I'm giving ClickFunnels in 2 days. I wrote an outline and I wanted to see how the outline flowed. And I'll tell you that based off of the episode that I just did just now, I think it's kind of cool that, so I'm doing pretend I ended this episode, just pretend, right? And I'm talking back to myself. Cool. Hey, what felt natural in this? What felt good? What felt bad? And there's a few stories there that I didn't realize that would be probably really powerful if I told in the speech, right? There's a few that could illustrate really powerful principles. There's a few places that I set up talking about the three nerves. I don't really like that much. I like the three stories, but I should have gone through the three stories and paired each story to a nerve, because there's three nerve lessons and three stories. But instead, I did all the lessons and I did all the stories. So I shouldn't have done that. I felt that. That was weird. I can already tell you where the sticking points are in the episode and how I teach this based on what I did in the episode. And so it's the other reason why you publish, man. Other reason why you publish is this exists right here. It's just, I don't know what I do. Publish. It'll actually pull it out of you. I got to know everything before I start publishing. Not true. Not true at all. You publish so you figure out what you do. That's how I did it, because I was like, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. And so this 100%, I have found my voice through publishing. I found what I do through publishing. I get my best ideas while I'm teaching. It's got to be always stemmed back to truth, though. You're not making something up. I feel like the sky is purple just because I feel like that. And you need to respect that. No, dummy, the sky is blue. All right. You're basing off a fact. Not my opinion of fact. And so that's the reason why it works. So you can get in states of flow. They call it blackout speaking. And I blackout speak a lot. I didn't know that I'd do that. One of my buddies, Justin Wubin. What's up, man? Shout out to you. He taught me about that from the inner circle. That I blackout speak. And I was like, I didn't realize that's what it's called. I get so many epiphanies while I teach that I need to be teaching more. Because it's what... Isn't it interesting that I pay money to put this content in front of you. It's not like I make money from this, right? If I make any money, it goes because you guys click on something or eventually work together or something like that. Like, I don't make any money from it. Like, I pay money out of my own pocket to put this in front of you. Isn't it interesting that a form of service like that pulls my best stuff out? There's got to be a really powerful principle there. You don't know what you want to go do? Serve. Teach. You're going to suck at how you talk at first. That's fine. Whatever. There's going to be jerks, but there always were. All right. So you just go, you just move forward. And so what this episode is going to help me do is I'm going to go probably listen back to it now. And I'm going to pull out and start building my slides based off of how I just taught this. There's several ways that I'll get ready for a speech. I don't always do all of them, but I usually do most of them, right? I'll write an outline. That outline sometimes comes just on a whiteboard. Sometimes it's on Google Docs. Sometimes it's with these pieces of paper that I'll scatter throughout my floor and I'll start to organize the topics and staple them together. And that's my slides. I inevitably always teach it though. And whether that's on a stage before the event, which I've done many times, or that's on a, you know, podcast material or something like that, like I'm practicing the material and trying to filter out like what didn't go well or what didn't get the most result for the listener the fastest. So yeah, anyway, sweet. Guys, I hope you guys like the episode, and I will see you guys later. If you would like to interview me, I would love to. I'm starting to do those again on Wednesday afternoons. Go to interviewsteve.com, and just fill out a little form right there that lets us know what show it's for. And then we'll send over to you a calendar link so you can choose a time in my calendar. And I would be more than happy to get on your show or your whatever you're doing. Awesome. Bye. You've obviously heard me say how important publishing content is in this internet game. And if you can't tell, I like making content. If you'd like to interview me on your show, summit, podcast, live stream, you name it, you'll find it all on stevejlarson.com. It's about halfway down the page. Also, if you've taken the plunge into live events, I love speaking on stages as well, by the way, go to stevejlarson.com, scroll about midway down the page where it says interview Steve, and let me know what I could talk about that your audience would get the most from. Go to stevejlarson.com and let's chat.